Our God
is an awesome God. He reigns.
Yep. All right.
From heaven, above with
wisdom, power, and might. His wisdom.
Our God is an awesome God. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, welcome to episode 178 of the Super Mega Podcast. Today, we're joined by two very, 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 very special guests. Probably
the most special guests we've ever had.
No disrespect to other guests, but yes, probably one of the most requested guests, if not the most requested guest on our podcast. Damn. It's the boys.
It's the boys.
Freaking boys.
Should I introduce you or should you guys?
I don't do
that's
any
an awkward thing
work.
To ask. Like,
we throw it on everybody every time for our podcast too, because okay. I don't like doing that.
Do okay, so that's you guys.
Hi guys, I'm Eddie Burback. I'm 23 years young.
Ooh.
I make commentary videos on YouTube, and I have a podcast. Go ahead, Gus.
It's my turn.
Gus, think of an adjective that starts with a G and then say that you're that Gus.
I'm grumpy little Gus.
Oh,
oh, sorry. And
well, now I'll remember your name, Grumpy Gus.
I'm Game Grump Gus. And I run a comedy channel on YouTube. I do sketches and stuff, and I have a podcast with Eddie. It's the Gus and Eddie podcast, and these boys will be on it very shortly.
Mm-hmm. You guys are actually our most requested guests.
Yeah, honestly.
For like doing a little trade-off.
Look at that.
Now I feel bad. I didn't mean to steal it first before we came on yours.
That's fair. Yeah, you got to us first.
We're slacking.
That's okay. We're slacking too. We slack every day of the week pretty much.
Yeah. I don't know, no, dude.
Except when we're working on our Patreon. We don't slack on that. Nope.
Gus, you also do stuff with Comedy Central, right?
Yeah, I do some stuff with Comedy Central. They're really cool. They have afforded me so many opportunities to just kind of like take my g-dang time with shit. But I've been sending in some digital sketches for them to intermittently post and stuff. And
oh, that's sick.
I've gone to a couple like live events. I went to like South By and like Comic-Con and stuff like that. And
whoa.
Did like some man on the street stuff with them. So
that's sick.
They've been really cool. And I love what they're doing right now because they're bringing in creators on YouTube and just doing like an SNL week with them. Like they did like me, Caleb City, Brandon Rogers, Anthony Padilla, and then they're gonna do, I think, Chudleys and Trevor Wallace. I'm not sure, that's unconfirmed, but I like that. And then the boys from Superman.
Eddie, you do sketches for Breitbart too, right?
Yeah,
they're about, I've seen those. Those
about
are great.
40 minute sketches every time, audio only.
You started off on Louder with Crowder.
I was like one of the neon signs in the background.
Yeah, but it's great to have you guys on. We've been wanting this for ever. I think like we brought
since
probably
before we knew you
almost a year ago before we even met you. We were like, we should get them on the podcast. I'm like, well, we don't know them though, but we want to get them on. And so
thanks
finally
for
ensnaring
here us.
The boys came to the Super Megaplex. We drank some sparkling waters in the kitchen. We hung out. It was a fantastic time. One of the best days of my year so far.
I agree. It's not even half over yet. 11.
Getting me excited now.
The day we were at Universal is actually one of my favorite days of like the last
That was such
year
a fucking
that,
fun.
Dude, that I was my favorite day of the year. It.
Yeah.
Of the decade.
There you damn go.
Yeah.
Damn, man.
I'm going to keep busting that out for the next 5 years. It's
the best thing of the decade. Because it only makes sense in this tiny window now. And then for the rest of the time, people are like, why the fuck does he keep saying that? It's so stupid.
Like, wow, he must have been having a shitty decade if that was his best day of the decade. But yeah, dude, that was my best day of the decade.
The Universal trip.
Yes, Universal trip.
That's
yes
where we had the fucking video that I have no idea what happened with that.
That fucking blew up,
it
dude.
It was so weird. For people that don't know, it was just this dumb video Jakey shot of Matt drinking a fake beer off an app and me saying, whoa, and then Hideo Kojima fucking retweeted it, which didn't make any sense.
Yeah, we're on the Universal like studio tour ride, and we're just dicking around, and all of us are in the video. It just pans by. And then just goes over to Eddie and he's like, whoa. And I've never seen anything like that just take off. And it has like 500 something thousand likes.
I was watching a meme playlist yesterday and it came up in the middle. I was like, oh shit.
A meme page I followed posted it recently and I was like, okay, it's still getting posted. We're going to see that in like 10 years from now. Just going to go back and watch some like meme video. It's like, oh, there's that day at Universal.
Gus has a couple of those from his early YouTube stuff that are like the shittier phone recording things that'll pop up in meme playlists all the time.
Sometimes I forget that I shot it, where I'll see it come up in a playlist and I'll be like, oh, I've seen this one fucking 10 times. Oh yeah, I made that. Because it's just on my cell phone. Because when I was doing YouTube Haiku stuff like years ago, I was almost exclusively making things for the subreddit YouTube Haiku, you know, like 30 second or less comedy stuff. And I was so afraid that people were going to get burned out on seeing me all the time that I'd switch up like the cameras. I'd be like, one's on a DSLR, one's on an old shitty Sony cam, one's on a cell phone, and then I'd be in some of them. So I just wanted to give that extra layer of maybe not everyone will realize I made the video. So there's a lot of earlier stuff where I'm not even in it.
You want to deceive people.
I wanted to trick and fool everybody.
You're a liar.
You're a liar. First of all, guys, come on, no.
Dirty lie. That's one of the seven deadly sins, I'm pretty sure. It's one of the Ten Commandments, actually.
Yeah, don't lie.
Yeah. Is that one of them?
No.
Don't lie?
No.
It's said like that. It's don't lie.
No, come on. Come on, don't lie.
Yeah.
So I guess God doesn't care if you lie, then. It's not one of the Ten Commandments.
But because he wants fame from deceiving people, don't covet. You could work something in there. That's a commandment.
Don't covet. Don't covet, dude.
Mm-hmm. Just don't covet that thy neighbor's wife.
Bro, if I had a nickel for every time I've just gone around town coveting. Dude, rich man.
We just might have to covet tonight, boys.
I might have coveted thy neighbor's wife at some point. That's how I tell you I've slept with your significant others.
Well, covet's a few steps back from actually going through with the ordeal.
Is there
something you'd like to say?
Adultery.
Okay.
There's nothing I'd like to say.
Okay.
I've never. And I wouldn't tell you on a podcast. We'll talk after this.
You guys can't see, but everyone's getting really sweaty in the room right now. It's crazy.
Oh, we turned heat up. Yeah. Oh,
that's nuts, dude. Seems like marital issue sweat, though, not temperature-wise.
Just a lot of stuff to figure out just after the fact.
Don't worry about it.
But we were talking about...
What does coveting mean? Does covet mean
to want?
It's like craving.
It's like
craving.
You want it. You're jealous of it.
Oh, it just means want?
Yeah, not even the act of it.
So they didn't say technically, what if you don't want your neighbor's wife, but you have sex with her anyway?
Like a passion.
Oh, that's premarital sex. Well, you're still doing adultery, but you're only doing one of the two.
What if I secretly get married to her? And then,
but he can't have more than one wife.
But they secretly divorce them.
You could, right?
No. You have one wife, and she has one husband, and they have sex, and that's it.
Does the Bible state that monogamy is the only way to go, though? Like in the commandments?
I guess dudes could have more than one wife, but the wives couldn't have more than one dude.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
God was very strict on that.
He was strict on that. Because it's like, if it's not a commandment, what's the point of following the rule? I thought that was
the rule. And if don't lie is in there, then Gus didn't do anything wrong.
Well, first thing, Moses came down and just came down with these plates and said they were from God. At the same time.
Fine china plates. It's a bunch of the, bless this house signs.
He's throwing them out here's a rule.
Came down with the slabs.
I still love one of my favorite dumb little psych eggs ever. It's from I'm absolutely drawing a blank right now. I don't know if it's like Life of Brian or it was an old Mel Brooks kind of thing. So it wasn't Monty Python, but it's Mel Brooks as Moses, and he's coming down with like the Ten Commandments. But the thing is, he has three tablets, so he's coming down and he goes, "All right, God said," and one of them falls and breaks. He's like, because he goes 15 commandments. 10 commandments. There's like five more that we needed to know.
There's like aren't there like hypothetically other books of the Bible that like were never found or lost?
Well, there's ones that were discarded.
Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Well, the illustrations and all. Well, like they actually chose what books to keep. Like there's a shit ton of books written out there, but
Who put together the Bible.
I don't know their names, unfortunately.
The boys.
Yeah, the boys.
the boys let's not put this one in.
Yeah, no, that's true. Like, a number of them were discarded, and it's like none of the books written by women, even women that allegedly knew Christ, were included in the Bible and stuff. Yep. I was just talking about this with Eddie last week. Like, when I was a kid, I went and I saw the Dead Sea Scrolls at the Minneapolis, Science Museum. And it's, like, the oldest physical transcripts, like, written on papyrus or whatever the hell of... the Bible.
You said they were touring it, right? It doesn't just sit at the Minneapolis.
Yeah, I was like, why is it in Minneapolis?
Wow, holy Minneapolis.
That's sister city to Bethlehem.
They are making a national National Treasure 3, so maybe
what? Dude, I knew about this. It's been stalled forever. I'm so pissed. He's getting too old.
Well, I mean, did you see, what was it? It starts with an M.
Magic Mike.
No.
Yeah, he was in that.
He was not in Magic Mike.
He was the stand-in.
I know what you're talking about. Is it Mandy?
Mandy.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah. That was super fun. That was a fun movie. He was yelling a bunch. He still has a lot of energy in him.
He's good. It just works all the time.
Does he have some kind of like, doesn't, it's sort of like Johnny Depp. Doesn't, isn't Johnny Depp like addicted to buying houses and that's why he has to keep appearing in movies?
Well, yeah, Nick Cage is in debt because he bought like a fucking dinosaur skull and a bunch of other shit.
Yeah. Didn't he buy it from Leo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who so like he's into debt, just buying all these goofy things and a bunch of houses, and now he had to sell a bunch of them.
I can't believe these celebrities who it's like they could be set for life and just relax, and then they just keep buying shit, and they're like, well, I gotta keep embarrassing myself all over town.
Well, the thing that's funny is that Nick Cage is legitimately like an accomplished actor. Yeah, he's in a lot of shit, but he's also in a lot of well-remembered and good shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But on the on every Hollywood tour you go to, if they ever mention Nick Cage, they're only gonna mention how he's now in debt.
Yeah, it's like, so, fuck you, dude. This guy's on his grind out there.
I know.
I had to whip up my phone quick to look up the National Treasure 3 thing, because I do regularly check in on it.
New news. Like, you'll just search up on Google, like, I've 5 years ago, this. National Treasure 3 news.
Yeah, dude. Well, because there's, like, look how long the history is. There's, like, paragraphs, and it starts in, like, 2007, where it's like, okay, we're going to do it this time. And the latest was in 2013 that John Turteltaub said, who I guess is, like, the producer, is like, oh, yeah, it's close. Like, the script is almost done, but Disney needs to greenlight it. But now the latest thing is in January 2020, it was announced that Chris Bremner, the writer of Bad Boys for Life, would write a new script for it.
Okay.
So we're back at the freaking drawing board.
Happening. But it's Bad Boys for Life writer. I can
still
trust
climbing
that.
Up there. We're still going to eventually see it. I think it's going to be the Sea Scrolls.
Okay.
What is going to be?
The treasure.
Oh.
The national
that's not a national.
Well, that's going to be the document
treasure.
That they use to somehow find it.
I think it's going to be like the Magna Carta or the Rosetta Stone or something. But not like the actual Rosetta Stone, like a 2007 Windows XP version of
Rosetta Stone. Portuguese.
Yeah.
It's like, we had the Constitution, but what about the thing that led to the Constitution? The Magna Carta.
I think it'll be the Monica Lewinsky dress.
They have to scrape out the cum.
It wasn't his cum.
You know when they do at the back of the Constitution, like the lemon juice and the black light, they do that.
I just want to see a 90-year-old John Voigt with a hairdryer over the cum.
There's a map on it, like with Bill Clinton's fucking.
You know how
you find
that
out
guy.
It's Hillary's cum.
Whoa.
There's that guy that says he's Bill Clinton's son, and he's like on a huge crusade to get Bill Clinton to acknowledge it. So the movie
is
they're trying to help
black
him.
Dude.
Yeah. So they're trying to help him out. So they're going to get the cum off of the dress to do a DNA test because Bill Clinton won't do one. So they're going to do a DNA test with what was left on the dress to prove once and for all that he is Bill Clinton's illegitimate son.
Somehow Epstein's going to be thrown in there for extra dramatic effect.
Mm-hmm.
And
his ghost.
And it's timely. So people are going to be like, I heard of this Epstein guy. I need to see more about him. What's going on? Who is it?
That.
I don't know why Jerry Seinfeld is like, who's Epstein?
What's with this Epstein guy? Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? I might have been on the plane.
did he ever fly on the plane?
Didn't Epstein own the plane? He? Wasn't that like his whole?
No. Jerry. I mean, did Jerry Seinfeld ever fly on the
Lolita
Express?
Didn't Jerry start dating a 17-year-old when he was in his 30s?
We had a classic bit about that.
He'd pick her up from high school and go to In-N-Out and have classic, you know, those classic high school dates.
some guy did a stand-up. There was this place. I might have told you guys about this, but there was this place that did like a stand-up night where you had to impersonate another comedian, and this guy goes up as Jerry Seinfeld, and he's like, what's the deal with girlfriends always talking about math homework?
I think you retweeted it or something.
It's so funny.
I saw it on Twitter. It's fucking it's like, hilarious.
What's the deal with your girlfriend's parents being your age? The funniest stand-up bit.
Dude, that's crazy that post-Seinfeld Jerry, like, dated a teenager. That's like, he had the
brought
show
her to red carpet events, and
I know, he brought her to the red carpet. Did they
get married? 17?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Like,
the
he's
balls
just like,
on that.
This is her.
That's even the pre-Hulu paycheck. Like, he's loaded, but not like stupid Dumbo loaded yet.
Is he at $100 billion yet?
I don't know.
I think he's poor.
He has like a. Is he the richest entertainer?
I think,
well,
Dre's
musicians
got him beat.
Are, yeah, different, but comedians, him and Larry David, I think, are the richest. Because, like, yeah, they have a fuck ton of money.
Yeah, dude.
That's what I love about Larry David is he still
would never
argues
guess.
Over like a bill in a show, but he's worth like $400 million or something like that.
Also, you would never guess Larry David's rich when you look at him.
Mm-hmm.
He just looks like any average like older Jewish dude.
That's the con.
I love that. See, like I'm still a huge fan of Larry David.
I love Larry David.
Mm-hmm. Eddie
love
and I have talked about Seinfeld extensively, and I even like I've got all the whole Seinfeld outfit and stuff. Like I've been trying to do a sketch about it, like Seinfeld these days. And it's just Jerry's gotten so much more out of touch as the years have gone on, and he's so elitist with how he approaches like other people's comedy styles and stuff. It's mm-hmm. so disappointing.
Makes me so. He's such an elitist about stand up where he won't even call anyone a comedian who doesn't do stand up comedy. Mm-hmm. So it's like Will Ferrell to him is not a comedian because he doesn't do stand up. And it's like, he's just, I don't know, he's a huge fucking elitist.
He's also one of those comedians that's like, it seems like his whole shtick nowadays just being bitter about PC culture. Yeah. And that's like all he focuses on. He has a residency in Vegas.
Uh oh.
These stories.
Yeah. He doesn't need to do that.
I know, but he does because at Caesar's
I don't know
Palace,
if it's a residency. It might just be a show.
That's true. But they had a big, so on outside of Caesar's Palace in Vegas, they had this massive portrait of him, like up on a wall, but it's a picture where it just looks like a dictator's picture. Yeah. And it's on the side of this massive like concrete building. So it looked like some alternate universe where like he's the leader of North Korea and they have his portrait up outside this building.
Imagine Jerry
he's the
Seinfeld
leader of Las
being...
Vegas.
he claims it as his own territory. He can buy Las Vegas.
These stories of Jerry Seinfeld, like it makes me scared. Like he's an elitist. He's, you know, dating these 17-year-olds. Like what if he is like white people's Bill Cosby?
Ooh. Ooh.
We can't lose Jerry. He's gonna end up in jail. Blind.
He helped raise me and my kids.
I like the through line though that he is actually the leader of North Korea. Like he is that dictator. Yeah.
That's where all his money came from. Seinfeld didn't make that much money.
Yeah, no, was, the U.S. is like, dude,
it was a flop.
They're like, Jerry, you got to shut down your nuclear program. He's like,
eh, what's the deal with these nuclear deals, right? this Iran deal.
That's I think with him and Larry, I know they're still friends and everything, but you see them, it's like, oh, Larry was kind of the genius behind all this.
Yeah. Larry's still having like fun and like I feel and like Kurt his stuff is so still like still. A lot like I feel it when I watch it is like lighthearted. Like mm-hmm. still all the time I'll get recommended like a bunch of what's Curb Your Enthusiasm clips. Like yeah. they're just always like popular. They're doing well. He's continuing to do the show. It's like still funny.
It's a hilarious show.
Yeah, Larry's got like the sweetest gig in Hollywood because he can do it whenever he wants and he doesn't write a full script and he gets to fuck around with his friends
like improv,
and then everybody loves it. And so it's just like he's got the best gig, I think, cuz it's like around his neighborhood too. So he just gets to fucking
it's the
hang
Palisades,
out.
Right? I think.
I don't know.
Shot. Well, actually, George Costanza is based on Larry David.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that whole character, like, is Larry David.
Nope.
Oh, sorry. It was Seinfeld. Jerry Seinfeld's based on Larry David.
That is, again, you can't give award shows a ton of credibility, but that is a big, like, misstep, is that Jason Alexander never won an Emmy for playing George Costanza. Crazy. Stupid as shit.
He was so good, too. But we were talking about this on a recent podcast. He just kind of, like... He didn't really do much after Seinfeld.
He was in Shallow Hal, dude.
He was
and Malcolm in the
Hal.
Middle.
I forgot about that. It's
true. He was in like two episodes of Malcolm, one episode of Malcolm in the Middle.
What episode is he in Malcolm in the Middle? Is he the shitty teacher? Is that what I'm
No, about? He's this guy that plays chess at the park. And
oh, yeah.
He like hates life and Malcolm tries to help him get a job at the grocery store.
I love that fucking
and that's,
show.
And that's, it's a good episode. It's on Hulu.
Wait, he's got a shitty life?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I never watched Malcolm in the Middle, but I watched like three episodes and I saw one that he's on where it's like where they were on the phone with him and he was just like, I'm going to kill myself today.
Yeah.
I saw that one. Yeah.
The show's really good.
You never watched Malcolm in the Middle?
I mean, if anything, I've caught episodes here and there. I never watched a bulk of it.
It's so fucking good. It's just like the way it's written. It's just some of the funniest like stuff.
And the child actors are legitimately good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's the perfect kind of nostalgia thing because it's right when we were actually kids.
Yeah, yeah. It started in 2000 and 2007, so it like encapsulates that era like when we were very, you know, growing up around the same time.
Yeah.
So, fucking. It's weird though, like when those shows happen, like Seinfeld, Malcolm in the Middle. Those actors during the shows are so known even to this day. Like think about Dewey, everyone knows who that is, but like they never go on and do other roles, and if they do, it's usually just like a really small indie film or a small cameo role. I wonder what it is about like certain actors' careers that just stop.
Wasn't RJ Mitty in a film with who did the old clip?
Ray William Johnson.
Was he in a movie with
RJ Mitty? Yeah, who plays Walter Jr. on Breaking Bad, was in a movie with Ray William Johnson. It's the two main characters.
Really?
Yeah.
It's called
What's Driving Doug, where RJ Mitty plays a man with cerebral palsy, but a much more severe case than what he has in real life. And then Ray William Johnson is going to Vegas and he brings him along with him or something.
It's one
like
of those
that.
Like, I'm going to show you what life is all about. Because you can't walk, and that's the moral.
Dude, if Ray William Johnson said he was going to show me what life is about, I'd be like, no thanks.
Really? I would be like, Ray, I'm going to take you up on that. He's going to take me to a room just filled with bricks of cocaine. All right, let's do it.
Dude, he's doing inspirational videos now.
He has a Hulu series.
I feel like he's just been working in the shadows like all this time. Dude, like he was super out there and all of a sudden it's just like scheming in the shadows and releasing shit.
He's back. I was going through Hulu last night and I was going through the documentary section and he has a movie called Who F'd Up the Internet. It's like F star 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 ED. And the picture was just Ray William Johnson just like, and I was like, when did he get a movie?
And he's doing inspirational videos? Like, yeah, legit? Dude.
The thing is, though, he never fully went away because he stopped doing Equals
the
3.
Facebook videos.
He's been murdering on Facebook. Mm. And I've heard from a ton of people that, like, your CPMs on Facebook can be way better than YouTube stuff. So,
I have
like,
a friend that does that.
Oh, it's nuts. So
for,
he's,
like, Spanish-speaking Facebook. I have a friend named Ricky from Mexico, and he'll make, like, meme videos, kind of similar to, like, what you do, but he just does them in Spanish, mm-hmm. and then they just blow up.
Damn, yeah, dude, like, Ray's been doing, like, Instagram comedy stuff, you know, where it's just these, ooh, hot girl, sexy, weird money yep. sketch things yep. like that, and he's apparently been making a lot of money, and he's been touring a lot for, like, stand-up. Like, when I was going on the road, it was always like, oh, Ray was here 2 months ago.
I didn't know he does stand-up.
Okay, so Jerry Seinfeld would call Ray William Johnson a comedian, just to
yeah,
clarify.
Yeah, but it would kill him to do it.
I would love to see Ray William Johnson stand-up. Honestly, I gotta say, I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked if it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
As in the way, like I could see myself being like, going out and be like, okay, that was not as bad as I thought it was gonna be.
Like, he's had like 10 years, yeah, to work on it. So I feel like it would have to be like a little bit.
Because I think doing stand-up comedy is so different also from doing Facebook videos. So the humor you see in those Facebook videos is not gonna be probably the same thing you see on stage.
He just, for me, would come off as like a. Like a creep, just a creepy Aziz Ansari. Like he can be the loud person.
Plying.
I'm trying to like think of like what his stage persona is. Is it not going to be the same like loud, brash thing that it is on Facebook?
Well,
or is he going to be like, I'm actually like really depressed and I'm going to say fucked up shit and I make Facebook. Is he going to be self-aware of the stuff that he does? Like what?
I bet he's like one of those insurgent bros where he'll make fun of bro culture, even though he kind of is. Mm. But he's like, okay, but I went into the depths of hell for you to make fun of these guys, even though I kind of am this guy a little bit, you know,
yeah.
like that.
And then at the end of the set, as a treat, he'll sit down on a stool with an acoustic guitar and do some acoustic versions of your favorite Martian tracks.
Is that a dig on Adam Sandler?
No, it's a dig on Ray William Johnson. I miss your favorite Martian, man. It was my favorite Martian.
Dude,
it was our favorite Martian.
The zombie song, love song.
What was the other one? Doing Your Mom? Was that the name?
That wasn't
Doing Your Martian. Mom. Stalking Your Mom, too.
That was Fatty Spins. That was his other musical project.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
My favorite thing is if you go to your favorite Martian, he changed the name of the channel just so all caps, it's this project is retired.
That's
really.
He's really trying to separate.
We named our Twitter that for a while.
Did we?
Yeah, it was like this project retired for like a month. It confused a lot of people. They're like, you guys quitting? It's like, no, it's a Ray William Johnson. Never mind.
Who's so, like a comedian or somebody that like historically gets a lot of shit that maybe you saw and you're like, oh, dude, this was actually really good. Can you think of any examples?
Yes.
Jeff Dunham.
Really?
Okay.
Here's the thing, though. I was young, so I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
But like looking back at it now, I'm like, would I enjoy it as much? Because he does a lot of bits that are poking fun at, I don't know, like his one Arab character is like this dead terrorist dude. His one black character, which he voices, is like a pimp.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, I don't know.
The Mexican character's a jalapeno.
Yeah. It's like, come on. No, I meant for like the positive though, where even recently, I just haven't watched a ton of David Spade stuff, but yeah, I'd see him in like kind of these B movies sometimes and stuff.
He's that
and,
talk show, right?
Yeah, and I've caught clips of the talk show on Comedy Central. It sounds like I'm it's been really good, and I've liked the guests that he's had on too. But like, I've always just sort of seen him and just been like, yeah, okay, Spade or whatever. But I saw him do like a 15-minute set at the Largo, and it was so goddamn funny. And now I want to watch more of his stand-up and stuff. Like, he was just killing it on stage.
I'm trying to think if there's any comedians I've seen that, because unfortunately the comedians I have gone to see that I didn't like beforehand, I ended up really not liking afterwards.
Tim Allen?
Tim Allen was a great example
of
that.
No.
We saw Tim Allen at the Laugh Factory. Yes, he did say the N-word, and it's not a joke. Actually, that's not a Kramer joke.
What?
He really did.
He said it in the Kramer spot?
Yes.
He said a version of it.
He said an altered version of it that
that implied that it was feminine.
Feminine. So basically, he tried to take the word and make it a...
Like French or something?
Like, think of Tigris. Like the river.
Oh, I get
you. And he said that on stage. Because before we go, you know, it's the Laugh Factory where Kramer did his little oopsie. And we were like joking, like, oh, what if Tim Allen? Who? And then he didn't. We all looked at each other and we were like,
what the hell?
He was hammered too. He got on stage. His whole stand-up thing.
It's the same stuff he's been doing on late night shows. I was going back and watching like late night shows with interviews on him. He's doing the same fucking jokes up there on that stage. The whole like, I was Santa Claus and I smoked cigarettes and I hated kids.
People's Republic of California.
That's like his whole stand-up set. And he was just, it was interesting being like 15 feet from a hammered Tim Allen just rant about modern politics. I was like, huh.
That's funny. You know, Disney Pixar is just like,
well, kind of wish you saw Toy Story 4. Stop selling tickets a little bit.
Did you see Toy Story 4?
I haven't seen it yet.
They cut him almost fully out of the movie.
What?
He's barely in. Buzz is barely in Toy Story 4. Yeah. And you know it's because of like the shit he does now. Have you seen Last Man Standing?
I've seen a couple episodes.
You're lost.
It's good. He works in, is it a hunting shop or is it just a sports shop?
It's like a Bass Pro Shop type of thing.
Yeah.
And he does online like inspirational vlogs.
He has a bunch of, doesn't he have like Obama and Hillary jokes in the show?
Yeah, he does. It's a great show. I ironically watched a season of it.
Which yeah.
I really got myself there.
I went on a first date with a girl and I said, what's your favorite show? And she said, Last Man Standing.
Not as a joke.
So then it turned into also the last date with that girl.
She was seeing if you would be the last man standing.
Ooh, see? Yeah. With she didn't even like the show.
Wait, I think you told me a story. Didn't you guys end up watching an episode?
We watched a couple of them. That's okay. The same one.
Where... Wait, so was it on that date or was
it was on that date.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So she said,
that sounds like a perfect
my
date
favorite
to me.
Show is Last Man Standing. Can we stop what we're doing and watch a few episodes?
That was after the one where I went and saw The Revenant and she tried to leave and then came back in because I didn't leave with her because it was too violent.
You told me that story. That's one of my... Can we talk about that story?
Yeah, that's fine. It's both the same date, too, by the way. Like,
this sounds like the worst date.
So the date starts at the movie theater. You're going to go see The Revenant.
It was a girl in one of my college classes, and I had heard from a mutual friend that she kind of liked me, so I asked her out to go see a movie. And stupidly, I had just seen The Revenant, and I was so stoked on it. I was like, dude... Oh. You want to go see The Revenant? So it was a movie I'd already seen, and it's one of the most violent movies ever. It's a horrible first date movie. So we went in there, and right away in the beginning of the film, the bear attack happens, and Leo's just getting absolutely destroyed, and she seemed, like, really uncomfortable, you know, and just was obviously making those kind of body language things of, like, I don't really want to be here right now. So then she finally, like, she makes a show of, like, picking up her jacket and her purse, and she, like, stands up and starts to leave, and I'm still, like, sitting there, and I'm watching The Revenant, and she just leaves, and I just was like, all right, maybe she just needs to step out for a minute, and I forgot that she left, and so much time went by. So much time. It was, like, way later in the movie.
You're enjoying you're legitimately and having a fucking blast watching the movie. He's enjoying cinema.
Yeah, I was like, I had forgotten I was on a date, and I was just hard into The Revenant, and then she comes back in like way later in the movie, like, and she just sits down and was like kind of quiet and just sitting there with her arms crossed and
stuff.
Do you
think she, like, if you looked at her, she would have been like had her arms out, like she would have given you the motion like, hey, you were supposed to come out.
I was afraid that if I looked at her, I would have to pay the toll for so yeah, like I said we went outside and like to the car and I was just like, oh, you didn't
wait
like
did you
that.
Finish the movie?
Yeah, like I was
okay
sat
so,
through the rest
so
of the
like
movie.
90% of the movie she just stood outside.
Yeah, so it was just
or
like
she could have had to take a shit, dude.
She could have, honestly, you know? And maybe the jacket and purse was a ploy. Maybe she threw me under the bus pretending to be like me, the asshole staying, and she just had to take a long
shit.
Because
she's on a first date. It's very embarrassing if you have to take a shit. So she's like, I'm out of here because I don't like this movie. But she's like, oh, thank God.
Absolutely. Yeah. And she uses like an extra half hour to air out in the winter cold just to be safe. But no, like we went out there and she was like kind of upset. I'm like, yeah, you know, in the car. And we went back to my dorm room and I was just like, hey, I don't know. Do you want to throw something on the TV? And she's like, sure. And I was like, what's your favorite show? Last Man Standing. And we watched like three episodes. Didn't
three
even
episodes.
Didn't touch each other. And she left and I never, we didn't go on any other dates again.
I love that. It's like the end of a book. We turned on a few episodes of Last Man Standing. We didn't touch each other and we went to bed.
Do you think anyone's ever touched anybody while watching Last Man Standing? I don't think so.
Well, do you think like Last Man Standing has been the precursor to people touching.
Absolutely. Nothing people have lost their virginity while watching that show.
Yeah. Than Tim Allen working a Bass Pro Shop.
Honestly, like, I wouldn't be surprised, just statistically speaking, if today, as of recording this, somebody loses their virginity while watching Last Man Standing.
There has to be a video on, like, Pornhub where it's like, I bang my hot girlfriend while watching Last Man Standing.
Just like in the background. Like, yeah. Like a POV video.
Tim Allen ranting about guns in the background.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly. Which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Take that swig. How was it?
My favorite thing about podcasting is like when a conversation ends, and then it's just instantly just...
Yeah.
And just that wait until like, anyone else have a conversation? You know what I'm going to do when I edit this? I'm going to make those three times longer.
No, you should just put it in the middle of a conversation where it just feels like...
Really awkward.
Like 30 seconds before one of us has an idea to even like connect to that.
Like someone's leading up, so I'm like, oh, dude, that totally reminds me when I was a kid. Like, that's how you should edit it.
I'm going to make that one, like, three times. No, I'm going to take the silence out, just so it sounds like Gus's joke didn't even exist.
Just add it in, like
I want to talk about a death that happened recently that's been on my mind.
Okay, why?
A little someone named Mr. Peanut.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Brand Twitter will never be the same.
Why did they... I don't want to feed into this whole like...
No, starting the conversation. You're already in it. Fuck it.
Why'd they kill Mr. Peanut?
I like this one.
Because we're talking about it.
We're talking about Planters Peanuts when we wouldn't be
it's
before.
It's so stupid. And that's why I like this one.
I love
one.
How everyone comes in.
Yeah, this one was clearly like, we want people to talk about something so dumb. They threw him off a cliff and blew him up. That's
Did you see the video?
Hilarious.
Yeah. He fucking falls off a cliff to his death.
Yeah.
And you know when he hits the ground, his shell cracks, dude. Like his nuts are spilling out from the inside. That's not like a balls joke. That's just, he's filled with nuts. And then he hits a bus and it explodes. Quick death, at least, right?
Yeah.
I like that it's ballsy to, it's nutty to choose to.
I hate how much you enjoyed this.
It's bold to do something as brash as kill off Mr. Peanut. And it's another thing to do it in a way where his last moments of life are filled with the absolute terror.
And he was smiling while he was falling. He was happy to give his life for his friends.
I think he was in shock, probably.
Because you know they could have just done something like, he's going off to college or something like that. Like, let's just brutally murder him.
It's like, oh, he went to live on the peanut farm. Yeah. On Jimmy Carter's peanut farm. Yeah.
It would have been different if they had a video of him like being cracked open like mercilessly as he's screaming, just like grabbing onto the door frame.
Just taken hostage by ISIS. They released like a legit ISIS video.
ISIS video of Mr. Peanut.
Just cracking him open.
It's a fucking cartel machete video of Mr. Peanut.
So if they behead Mr. Peanut, do they cut him where his actual head ends, or do they cut him in the middle where you can cleanly separate the two peanuts in the show?
It's got to be clean through the two nuts.
Through the two nuts?
Yeah. All right, well, in between the two
yeah,
nuts.
Yeah. That
Sorry,
seems
not the, through the two nuts.
That's the most respectful way to do it. But it is ISIS we're talking about, so oh. They probably...
Or they
probably
cartel with a chainsaw, and they just... I mean, like, imagine if Planters Peanuts just uploaded this like grainy cell phone video, like in the desert, like at night, and it's just like Mr. Peanut being brutally executed. They're holding up, they pull the nuts out and they're like holding them up.
They put Mr. Peanut in a cage and set it on fire.
That would peanuts roasting on an open fire. They should have done it around Christmas time. That would have been like, see, if they wanted to really get people talking,
if it was like realistically shot, like it was on a video camera,
and like they just brutally execute him.
Why aren't we behind the marketing of Mr.
See, that's why they need to hire people like us. You know, they're gonna go and get celebrities and do this whole epic, like, oh, I'm giving my life for you guys. Like, no. If they want people to talk about Mr. Peanut, because here's the thing.
And we bring in politics. You got to remember
that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 20 years from now.
Well, what's hot right now? Politics.
Politics,
so you
got to
talk about them.
We'll get Tim Allen in, too. Yeah. Tim Allen will play one of the terrorists. And we basically go.
He's Tim the Toolman Taylor in it.
Just put drilling him. Put some shoe polish on him. It'll be fine.
People would talk about that a century from now. Like, remember when Planters Peanuts did that whole ISIS thing?
And like Tim Allen dressed up as like... Okay, they could have just made him a white terrorist, but they put shoe polish on his face for some reason.
And they said, and Tim Allen goes, any last words, Mr. Peanut? And Mr. Peanut looks in the camera and says, down with Drumpf.
That's a line worthy of a guillotine, not a machete.
That'd get me buying a snack pack. Okay? I can feel the nuts shaking in my fist already.
A whole little, like, one of those little, like, oh, dude, I fucking love snack packs.
They're good.
Just a perfect amount of peanuts in your pocket, man. Yeah, you don't have to worry about any shells or anything. You just got that thing. You whip it out, crack it open, down a couple peanuts, throw it back in the pocket. And they're nice and warm, too, from the body heat. Yeah. My dad grew up in real rural South Carolina. I remember driving on a road trip, and he's like, son, you got to try this treat. It's delicious.
Is your dad Hank Hill?
Essentially. And it's just like a bottle of Coke. You just pour peanuts in.
That's what. Oh yeah.
What?
Keep hearing that's good.
Is it?
No, it's not. Yeah, I was just like, it wasn't disgusting, but I was like, all right. Well, I don't see how anyone would crave that.
You pour salted peanuts into just a Coca-Cola, yeah, and you drink it, and then you'll chew on the peanuts as they.
What? As Father Dale described it, it's a beverage and a snack.
Yeah, but he's already having a beverage and a snack when he's eating Coke and peanuts.
Yeah. It's like I don't buy some Swiss cake rolls and try to cram them into my Arnold Palmer cake. I enjoy them separately.
Swirl it around a little bit. Oh, it's a beverage and a snack.
Save so much time.
You should actually like make a meal for your dad and have one of the drinks just be like a fucking beer and just like shred a burger and throw it in there.
Dad, it's dinner and a drink all at once.
It's a burger.
A burger.
Or is it a burger? Or a burg,
probably. Or
I like burger. Yeah, burger's pretty good.
Yeah, burger's good.
That sounds disgusting.
Holy shit. We could start a place, like start this big old restaurant chain. Well, it's gonna have to start small, but we could be the first in on the market on burgers.
Millennials are combining food and drinks into one item, and it's
except
insane.
We just always make the most putrid, disgusting shit.
I mean, like just name it after my dad. Call just like Daddy Dale's, and it's just like. He's the mascot, and it's, you know, the classic item, of course, is Coca-Cola with peanuts. Mm-hmm. But if you really want to get adventurous, we got a lot of other things. You
got the burger. You got to do some chicken tenders in a milkshake.
There's for the
chicken.
The beer girl come in a bottle, so you have to suck the food out. And it's a glass bottle, so you can't even like squeeze it.
And we have kids' meals with toys, where like the toy is just like a cup of sand.
Maybe there's like a single rock in there. Kind of shake it around, make some noise.
You're supposed to put it in your shoes. The toy's in the beverage somewhere. So you have to. Oh, well, there's
it's a toy and a drink all in one.
It's a toy, a meal, and a beverage all in one.
And the beach.
And if you want to add dessert, go for it. Get a slice of, or like a scoop of chocolate mousse dropped into your, like a little milk cup.
No, the whole can with the meal in it is coated in chocolate mousse.
So you can lick the outside when you're done.
Should really give me napkins.
Just like dripping down the kid's fingers.
The napkin is, or it's the receipts printed on the napkin too. So God, like, let's write this down. Let's do this.
This is a good idea for a restaurant. I like this a lot. But you know what else I like even more than that?
What's that?
Ad reads. Love is in the air. Someone grabbed the Lysol. Just kidding. Even though this is a made-up holiday, it's still really cute.
It's also the perfect time to show that special someone how much you care and say those three words everyone wants to hear. Match my undies.
MeUndies has the most adorable Valentine's Day prints to get all lovey-dovey this year. Don't worry if you don't have a boo. MeUndies also makes buddy bands so you can match with your pet, which is honestly more important than people. Right?
Yeah. Actually, just this week, MeUndies sent us a fresh pack of MeUndies to wear, and I appreciate MeUndies because they consistently keep sending us free underwear, and every time it arrives at our office, it's like Christmas. Ryan and I are just like, ooh, MeUndies!
I made the move.
What move?
All of my underwear is now MeUndies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. I 100% are over here. I like it. To show how much they love you, MeUndies has not one but three new Valentine's Day prints this year. This is the perfect opportunity to show that special someone you're ready to take it to the next level with matching pairs. Match me so I know it's real is the motto this year. If you're matching your BFF or even your dog, it still counts. Or your mom. You could buy your mom underwear.
Psst, psst. Hey, Matt.
Yeah.
Someone told me that MeUndies has new loungewear.
What?
Yeah, the rumor has it that it's loungewear you can wear out and about.
In public?
Yeah, but keep your eyes peeled for some cozy new additions.
MeUndies has a great offer for my listeners. And for Ryan's.
Yes, for our listeners, Matt.
My listeners. For any first-time purchasers, you get 15% off and free shipping. This is a no-brainer. You don't even need a brain to get this deal. You can be a single-cell amoeba, especially because they have a 100% satisfaction guarantee. So, to get 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/SuperMega. My boy, Ryan.
MeUndies.com/SuperMega.
Wowza.
Do you guys like those ad reads?
Those are pretty good.
Wow.
Which one was your favorite?
Probably the first one that you did.
All right. I think we only might have done one this week.
That's why it was a safe pick.
Yes.
If you guys could do promo for one brand, who would you do it for?
Planters Peanuts.
Oh, dude.
No,
yes.
No. Oh, not one that we already do one for. Yeah. Like just
what's any? The white whale?
Oh, my Lord.
For me? Oh, wait. I just remembered. Back in the day, we were with Rooster Teeth's ad agency network, and they asked us, they were like, are there any brands you guys want to work with? So we made a list, but then at the bottom, like as a joke, they were like products you actually use, and we just threw in like XXL Magnum condoms, and like they just did not think it was funny. Like,
really?
They just never commented on it either. So I guess they were like, oh yeah, I guess they're serious.
I think my white whale would be a nostalgia run for this one brand where it's you and I's dressed up paper bags for Fandango. I use Fandango all the time to buy my movie tickets. I do.
Like a red and blue paper bag?
Yeah. You remember the old paper bag commercials they had?
Yeah. And they
were
like
singing the songs before movies played?
Yeah. I forgot about that.
That's what I would do.
What was the, there was a song, right? What was the, wasn't there like a Fandango song?
Yes.
How'd
I can't remember. I can look it up. I'll look it up and I'll start playing it in the middle of your answer.
It'd be cool to do like a ad for Ricola on the same like you know, if you ever have a sore throat, actually you can drink like a Coca-Cola and drop some Ricolas in it.
Yeah,
I call it a Ricola Cola.
I like that.
Okay,
it's medicine and a drink at the same time.
Exactly.
Is this remember this?
I don't think I remember.
Don't. No, I do remember this. Yeah.
Fandango.
Yeah, dude.
I love it because like
I do that 100%.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember Fandango commercials?
No, not at all.
Damn. Well, okay. Next conversation.
I guess we'll move on from that one.
Sorry, you're
the one that asked the question. I was just answering.
Yeah. I watched recently because YouTube keeps recommending them to me. These old like mid-2000s commercial compilations, and it unlocks some like weird part of my memory that I'm like, the weird thing is like those memories are always in here. They're just not being accessed.
Mm-hmm. I like the videos where it's just like the thumbnails literally just says 2000 or 2002. And it literally goes through all the like it mashes up like a music remix. And then they also throw in commercials and like movies and TV shows. Mm-hmm. And it just hits me right here.
Mm-hmm. The biggest nostalgia commercial for that is the Chef Boyardee rolling can one.
That's a great one.
It always gets me. Feel like a child again. And I speak like a 5-year-old.
No
for the
chef
rest
tonight.
Of the day.
We should recreate that
until you get your Chef Boyardee ravioli.
Yeah, I get it, then
we'll be in the store and you'll say, hey, can I have chef for dinner? I say no chef for dinner tonight. And the little can goes, whoop, And then the little French music starts playing, rolls down the highway. That shit had to be pulverized by the time I got there. Yeah.
Like that, it was like a nice bisque.
Yeah, at that point. That actually might be, no, that wouldn't be good. Yeah. I take that back. For a second, I was like, blended up Chef Boyardee might be good. I hate Chef Boyardee.
I fucking hate it. So disgusting.
I never really had it as a kid. So I remember in college, I was like, I'm going to finally have some. Shittiest ravioli I've ever had in my entire life. It's fucking gross.
In the minority. I love getting those little cups of the ravioli, just putting it in the microwave. Just a good little snack.
I do like SpaghettiOs. SpaghettiOs
rule. SpaghettiOs with meatballs, though.
Yes.
Has to be with meatballs.
What about Frank's?
No.
No?
Nope. Sorry.
Do it. Dude, when I got to college, I've told this story on our podcast a little bit before, but a little bit of cross promotion there. It's right, you know, Gus and Eddie podcast.
What's your podcast again?
It's crazy. It's called Gus and Eddie podcast.
That's crazy.
No, when I got my first house in college, I was the only one living there for the summer. And at the end of every semester, the dorm room buildings would put out these big cardboard boxes for like unwanted clothing, unwanted electronics, and unwanted food. And all of the building administrators said, anybody that can use any of this stuff, take it. Otherwise, if there's stuff that you don't want to throw out but you can't use, just put it in the bin. So I would go around. I'd wake up in the middle of the night so it wasn't embarrassing, and I'd rollerblade down to campus, and I'd like fill up a duffel bag full of like electronic shit or like food stuff. And then, dude, it saved me so much goddamn money. When I moved to my first house, I just had this whole cupboard full of like food that I'd gotten, and a ton of it was like Chef Boyardee ravioli and SpaghettiOs and soups and stuff, and it was terrible. I've got so goddamn sick of eating Chef Boyardee. I didn't like it the first time. I don't like it anymore. It's horrible.
My favorite thing about that is you
rollerbladed.
You immediately followed, so it's not embarrassing. So I rollerbladed down to campus. Immediately following that by I roller. And then the visual of Gus in the middle of the night rollerblading with bags of Chef Boyardee.
I need to picture this. Do you have a helmet on?
No.
Rebel.
Yeah, backpack, my purple high school basketball duffel bag, and a couple
just
of
full of Chef Boyardee.
Full of Chef Boyardee.
How did Gus die? He fell and got beamed in the head with a Chef Boyardee can on his rollerblades.
You know, it was like a car hit him because he was rollerblading at night with no reflective gear. And then the car hit him, and the ambulance thought it was his guts, but it was actually just Chef Boyardee splattered all over the car.
Damn, this kid had a lot of fucking intestines in him. Is that beef?
I got confused. I took a sip of my drink and I thought you were asking, what is that beef? And I was like, no, it's water.
New bubbly flavor.
I get it now.
Sipping that beef, baby.
Sipping that beef, baby. Beef in a can. I'm going to take a break to go pee real quick.
You are?
Get another drink. You guys want to take a little 5-minute break?
Yeah, dude. I might freak that bathroom up too a little bit.
Do we during this break, do we want to order lunch?
Sure, let's do that.
Da, 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 da. Thanks,
that's great so far.
The guy who's hungry asks.
Dude, I'm really hungry.
I'm starving. Yeah.
I was getting added yesterday a bunch because I guess Notch went on like a stream and was talking about like my shit, and I was just like,
really?
That's okay.
Notch
that's
is
okay.
One where it's like, no thanks.
That's okay. Thank you.
He's Didn't he like the whole thing? Is he like outbid? Like Jay-Z. Beyonce and Jay-Z in the house, and then like has these like sad parties where he doesn't really know anybody.
I think he sold that house actually.
Yeah, I don't think he
had the candy room in it.
He doesn't do parties anymore too. It's just like, what does he do now?
Which I'm real bummed about because we weren't big enough at the time he was having those parties. And I wish that, I don't think he would invite us now even.
No. We made fun of the man too much.
Yeah.
But is he aware that you made fun of him?
Probably. No.
We made fun of him a lot. Fuck Notch, but we made fun of his candy room a lot.
His candy room?
He had a candy room.
His mansion had a candy room. The walls were like tubes of candy.
I guess I don't know why I'm surprised here, but yeah. That is kind of fascinating. Yeah. I would love to see it there.
Ross has been there. Anyway.
Sorry that I had to see that.
It's okay. It's like Gandalf when he has to drink the bad juice.
No, not Gandalf.
It's close though.
Dumbledore, sorry. I haven't even seen Lord of the Rings.
What? You haven't seen Lord of the Rings?
I haven't, no.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I haven't seen it since I was young, and when I was young, I didn't really like it that much.
My mom.
But I do want to give it a new shot.
We should watch it together. I haven't seen, or, I mean, this might be a shock to you guys, not to Ryan anymore, but I've only seen one Star Wars movie.
That's fine. Episode. But that is surprising, though.
You can't have reaction to Lord of the Rings and then be like, Star Wars.
It is more surprising that you've only seen one Star Wars than it is that you haven't seen any Lord of the Rings.
I've seen bits because, well, the thing was my mom and dad and sister were like the biggest Lord of the Rings stands. and they would always watch them on DVD and stuff. And I was always a little bit too young for that because my mom and my sister, my dad watched movies like Austin Powers, Lord of the Rings. And at the time, you know, it's like they're not going to let their, you know, 10-year-old watch Austin Powers.
Oh, I forgot you don't have nostalgia for Austin.
Dude. I watched it for the first time recently, but I did miss half the movie. So, it doesn't really count.
No, it doesn't.
I had to go clean my room.
You can't miss half a movie and say you've seen it.
It was funny, though. It was really funny.
It's good, dude. Yeah, it's like the older ones, like I watched the first one recently because usually the ones, like the one I always went back to for nostalgia reasons for some reason was Goldmember because that's the only one I could see in theaters. My mom took me, strange enough, and we had the VHS tape. But like I always like would catch the other ones when they would play on like TV or whatever. Yeah. But the first one, like it does come across kind of like, I don't think... kind of like a Naked Gun-esque type humor.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And it's just like, I really dig that type of humor. Like, I love Naked Gun still. Like, I'll rewatch it and everything. I like Airplane, all those classic fun movies. You know, I just like dad jokes.
The best part of Naked Gun movies? OJ.
Yes.
Yes, yes. I forgot he's in those. Yeah.
But he's like always hurting himself and shit.
The worst part is he is so funny in those movies.
He's not a bumbling idiot. It's because of Leslie Nielsen's character that he's always like falling off of shit.
Mm-hmm. That movie, Naked Gun, the writing's just so fucking funny. Mm-hmm. Like, I think one of my favorite moments is
the hotel. Yeah, when they're looking across from in the hotel.
And they're looking at it. I was like, what do you think they're doing in there? And the guy's like, sex? He's like, no, we're on the job. <It's> like, just shit like that. Yeah. Fucking Austin, I think the funniest joke to me about Austin Powers is just how fucked up they made his teeth because he's British. So he just has these nasty fucking teeth the whole movie.
Dude, when I was a kid, I was terrified of Austin
Powers. Wait, really?
I forgot you.
I was just fucking out of my mind scared of him. Because it was a family Christmas when I was probably like 4 or 5 and somebody went and got the first Austin Powers movie and we went and we watched it and I don't even know what it was about the movie, but afterwards I had this deep fear. I think maybe it was like Fat Bastard. Maybe it was just like
I was slightly afraid of Fat Bastard.
I was a little afraid of Fat Bastard.
Body shaming, I see.
Were you afraid of the movie or Austin himself?
I don't remember exactly what it was. I remember especially when I was a bit
off-putting as a kid.
It was just pure white fear.
Just
like burning fear.
Especially when I was a kid, I was really tormented by like severe empathy for fictional characters. Like my mom's told me before, like I used to watch those Winnie the Pooh VHSs and stuff, and there's this one episode where Winnie the Pooh goes to the top of the tree and he falls down and hits all the branches, and I was just screaming. My mom said, like,
I can think of this thing. He was like 14 though.
Yeah.
I would get really bothered by people going through bad shit. It was the opening. You guys remember Little Nicky, the Adam Sandler movie where he's like the son of the devil? Is John Lovitz in the beginning is like spying on a woman and then he falls and dies like out of a tree and he goes to hell, and seeing somebody go to hell, I was like 10 or something.
Because you actually picture that. Yeah. You're like that's going
to happen.
God.
Like that could happen to me.
I felt, and not even just that, but seeing that guy go to hell, I was like laying in bed that night being like, I feel
it's almost
terrible.
Like, is this what hell looks like?
Yeah. It was fucked with me, dude.
I always had that with like villains or bullies, like whenever they got their comeuppets, like I'd always feel kind of bad. I'd be like, oh, I wouldn't like to be in that. Oh my god, like really? It's just I don't know, even with classic Disney villains, whenever Jafar got trapped, I'm like, I wouldn't want to be trapped forever.
Yeah,
dude, that's a bit harsh.
That was in Max Keeble's big move when they used the phobia. Did you ever see that movie?
Yes. That's a great
movie. They used the fucking frog mascot phobia to terrify the bully, and you're like, okay, that's a little much, guys.
It's like some deep-rooted shit.
Yeah.
You know, oh my god, if we're talking about empathy for characters, you know what fucking killed me when I was a kid?
Stuart Little.
When he gets stepped on? The mouse trap scene?
That scene's so fun, dude.
No, The Black Cauldron, have you seen that?
No, I haven't. I've only seen like scenes. Yeah. Sins.
Well, I haven't seen it in such a long time. I just remember there's a part where a character kills himself. And it's like really dark for a kid's movie.
Oh my god.
And I just remember like it fucked me up as a kid.
I remember seeing the first Tarzan movie, like in theaters and but the Disney in the Disney animated Tarzan movie. And I just remember it's scary as a kid. The ending, the villain is at, like hung by his own rope, and you just see his silhouette. Swinging back and forth in like a light, in like lightning striking. Mm-hmm. It's just like Jesus
Christ. Kids were fucked back then.
Most Disney villains die in awful ways.
Yes,
It's fucked.
The death always got me. And that I forgot which Indiana Jones movie it is, but the guy falls off the cliff and the camera like follows him down as he's falling and he's just like hitting the wall as he goes. He's like,
what? Well, I don't remember that.
Really brutal death
in an Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah, the guy falls off the cliff and as he's falling, he's like just hitting the wall and just like rolling. It's like really brutal. I don't think I dreamt that. I'm pretty sure that happened.
Y'all seen Bone Tomahawk?
No.
It has one of the most fucked up scenes I've ever seen in a movie.
What is it?
I can't spoil it now.
I've seen the show Bones. No, I haven't seen Bone Tomahawk.
I fucking lied.
There's just like a morbidly realistic dismemberment that happens in it.
Oh,
where like
geez.
Just like the dude just screaming the whole time and you're just like I was having a good time with the movie.
I can't.
It's the
up until that.
Man.
It's like when it starts to feel like torture porn, like what Saw kind of heightened in its time.
I haven't seen
where like that stuff always like it just made me feel like I was watching a snuff film, like the same feeling like you would get from going on to like gore or r/watch people die would be like kind of the same. Like this is just like a Serbian film goes over the top to make it. Have you heard of
dirty?
That?
You're like,
yeah, I've heard of it. I've seen bits of it. I'm
just like,
it's
I
just
can't
like
do it.
Where stuff is like so fucked up to where it's. I get. There's like artistic. You can be artistic and everything, but like maybe it's their point to be shocking. But at the same time, it's like, I'd rather have some good characterization instead.
Yeah. I completely agree.
You know what I rewatched recently was Green Room, and I just can't fucking watch that.
I do like that movie though.
So brutal.
It's such a good movie. That movie gave me anxiety like no other movie.
It's the one scene that always gets me is the wrist scene.
Yeah. That it's
with the box cutter. Like it's just
so obscenely violent that it ultimately leaves me like it's a great movie, but I'm like I kind of hated that though because it's just so overbearing.
Like the
violent.
Feeling, just like your stomach's empty
and
while
ends
watching
just
it.
Like. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
What I couldn't handle even before, I actually like it in the movie, though, is in District 9 when his nails start falling.
Oh, yeah.
I remember being a kid and being like, I can't fucking handle this right now.
He's in the bathroom and, scene is disgusting.
That's the party, right? Where they have the surprise party
and
for him.
And he pukes.
And pukes black into the, oh, God.
But that's like, a great movie. I love that movie.
District 9 is a fucking fantastic movie. I love District 9.
His other movies weren't so good, I heard. I didn't see them.
Elysium was okay.
I forgot he did Elysium.
Chappie wasn't good, but I liked Chappie.
I enjoyed Chappie. I enjoyed it as a movie.
I had fun, but I really didn't like the side characters' accents, especially. I just couldn't even like hear it.
Those
really.
South African accents.
Sorry, Eddie. I didn't realize you were like that.
I couldn't understand it. I'm sorry.
Another movie that had like just nail shit in it. I remember at the time, just like fucked me up. Black Swan.
Black Swan.
When
right?
she has
when
the hangnail,
peels
just, like,
the hangnail
peels
like
all
the way down her.
I heard about that scene, and that's why I didn't see Black Swan.
And then the girls kiss. Two girls make out.
That's just despicable.
It was hot stuff, dude. Man. Any movie that's got some chick on chick action, count me in.
Cow you in, dude. I can't do I like to think that I can watch gore for the most part, but experiencing it myself and stuff, I can't do paper cuts and fingernail shit. It's the most disgusting thing ever. Like, in Jackass.
I was going to bring that up.
We were all about to bring that up.
When the webbings of the toes.
That's
with
the one
cardboard.
I
gross.
Fuck that. I can watch anything they do but that.
Yeah.
There's only two Jackass. I've said this before. Two Jackass ones I can't watch. The paper cut one and the one where Steve-O is high out of his mind and puts the fish hook through his cheek.
Oh, yeah. That's hard to watch.
Like, that one. I'm like, dude.
For me, for some reason in Jackass 3, it's the shit volcano. I can't.
Well, now
can't
knowing what it is,
it,
I'm kidding.
Oh, I saw that in 3D in theaters with my dad at a dinner and movie place. So, like, I had my meal like fresh in front of me, and
some of the lava cakes.
And then in 3D, I had a big bowl of chili, and then 3D. Just, I didn't know what it was at first. I was like.
That's the problem is you investigate because you're not sure what you're looking at. And then when you realize it extra grosses you out.
That one's disgusting.
Well, we were talking about National Treasure 3 and like our excitement for it. I mean, Jackass 4 is a thing.
Jackass 4, dude.
That's,
I'm stoked out of my fucking mind.
I feel like it's gotta be the last.
It's gotta be.
But we say that every time because like, oh, they're getting old now. It's always the same thing. But now it's like they're getting old, old.
This one is definitely, and I don't think it's just the age. I think it's all the factors. It's they're getting older. Like Knoxville's full Hollywood at this point. Like Bam. Not in a bad way, but yeah. It's like he's really doing it there. Bam is really struggling with substance.
My heart breaks whenever I recently he did the whole Dr. Phil shit, and I'm like, why is Bam on Dr. Phil?
Yeah, dude.
And then there was the Vice thing, I think, before that, which is like a 45-minute documentary on his alcoholism.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It was Vice or someone else.
No, it was a YouTube thing. I saw that one. Yeah. It was like a skate. Fuck, I can't remember. I totally saw that thing. It was really good. And it was kind of during that point, too, where he got a little skinny again. He was kind of skateboarding, but now like he's doing worse. And his parents are all distraught. I think there's no way that he won't be in my view, but like I don't know to the extent of which he'll be in it.
It's just sad seeing him just... I mean, he was... The thing is, like... I guess his personality, like, they were all, like, just dicks, like, around strangers and around each other, but, like, they weren't, there's a clear difference between them and someone, like, I guess Logan Paul comes to mind when you think of someone who does outrageous things in public or whatever they do, but they get a negative reaction as opposed to a positive. And I was trying to, like, what is the stark difference between,
butt of the joke. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's why I think it is. And also he doesn't have a cast of friends that you can tell where they're kind of having fun. It's kind of like, oh, Logan pays the bills and he's never the joke and he's just fucking with people all the time. You know,
but it kind of like makes me sad because seeing people do outrageous stuff, I keep on trying to see you between the bars. This is good.
Eddie's nose has been missing the whole
time. It looks like the meme where they like completely.
Sorry, like the microphone stands are blocking our view of each other.
But like, I wish, I don't know, it's one of those things like I wish kids had their like own little appropriate jackass like that we had, because right now I feel like they're growing up with kind of like the rich kids that just like, I bought this fancy car and drove it off of a cliff type of thing, which is like, I'm sure cool to watch as a kid. You're like, holy shit, this stuff is goofy and crazy.
Yeah.
But,
it ain't no Fishing with Steve-O though.
No.
It ain't no T-ball.
You remember Wild Boys, dude?
Yeah, Wild Boys.
I watched that with my dad all the time.
Well, I was over at Gus and Eddie's place and we talked about Jackass for like an hour straight.
Yeah, we
remember
did. That was the last
with Jakey and stuff. And we just sat down and talked about Jackass for so long.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
I'm beyond stoked. And I don't like it when people write off just because they're old, because it really is like,
I think that makes it better.
Yeah, it is better. And all of them will be the first to say it. Like I know in like 2015, Rolling Stone did this huge piece where it was like Jackass Week, because it was like the 15th anniversary, and like so many of those guys, they're just watching old sketches and stuff and they're just saying, I know we're old, but I'll kill myself, like, I just want to do it so bad, you know, because it's still, people are, they're not good at doing it, you know, like they don't do it successfully.
It's part of the adrenaline rush that they all feel like this. They've talked about in interviews how there is like a fun energetic, there's like a bond there, but it's also an adrenaline rush for them. It's like they're also like addicted,
it's like
to
a
doing
high,
this
stuff. Yeah. Dude, you're doing like, this crazy high stakes shit.
Like Bam was like just kind of like would draw shit up, like even though it was sometimes shit that couldn't be done, but like he just all just be drawn like a kid, like of stuff he wanted to do constantly.
Like, he drew the butt plug kite thing and like faxed it over.
Yeah. That's like all the guys, like you'll even hear when they're between projects and between Jackass stuff, they'll all be like Knoxville, Steve-O, Bam. They're like, hey, I'm drawing up like cool schemes and stuff and writing down ideas all the time. So I can't imagine now with so much time that went by between 3 and 4 now, I'm sure they're going to be shooting forever, because a lot of the guys were even talking during the principal photography for 3. I think they shot for like the better part of a year straight.
They said they had enough to make like 3 movies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's like now this has got to be everyone knowing, okay, this is the last time. They're going to have so much fucking footage.
What I love too is that with like pop culture wise for them, it's not like when they come back, everyone's like, oh, they're getting a little old, this is kind of pathetic. It's like we all beg them and it's like, please come back. We want you to be relevant again. We want to watch another movie.
It's not even like that feeling of like Toy Story where you're like, oh, why are they making another one? And it's like, oh, it was fine. It was good. Like, I love that feeling of like, it is this giant fan base that is just like, please, more.
Yeah.
Because there will never be enough. Like, I remember my stepbrother he owned the like DVDs like before the movies were like,
the MTV
maybe,
show you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he owned the DVDs and he left them over at my place. And I just remember like I was young and I wasn't supposed to be like kind of watching that stuff because we'd watch it after the parents would go to bed. And like, I got so excited. I would just watch them again and again. I'd invite my friends over. I was like, I was the kid with the jackass naughty jackass DVDs.
Well, I think another reason they're so good is because it gives you that like nostalgic
feeling of when you were like a kid or like a teenager and you would hang out with like those friends that were like the rebellious ones and mm-hmm. like the kind of thrill of that. Cause I had a friend and his brother that would always hurt themselves. They would do jackass style stuff and they were like invincible. And I couldn't even go outside without my shoes on. So like I got my camera and I'd film them do stupid shit in a similar way. Cause my friend would just be like, oh, let me get on top of this electrical box. My neighbor would do a backflip off of it. Or like just shit like that. And I had the most fun watching them do that. So like when I watch Jackass, it just reminds me of like the thrill of doing that kind of shit.
I told you I did that with like my stepbrother.
Called it Jack Butt, right?
Yeah, we called it Jack Butt. It was like when our neighborhood was under construction. So we'd go into like the houses that were under construction and just jump off of shit and like
the top of like a 3-story roof.
But like it wasn't anywhere near, of course, like the stuff they would do. But like to us, like it was just like, ah, this is, it was weird that those types of people were like, our heroes at one point. Mm. Like I want to live their life. They look like they have so much fun. So you just mimic it with your friends.
Yeah. I have a homemade Jackass video scar still.
Really?
Yeah. I let, when I was 14, I let a friend, cause they had, you know, everyone was doing Jackass videos, but they had like 2,000 subscribers at the time, which, ooh, like when we were in high school was like insane.
Viral, yeah.
And they, I let them hit me with a they did it too. I wasn't the first
fluorescent
one. Fluorescent light. And the thing is, mine was I got it the absolute worst because they did it perfectly where it broke on this arm and then it was moving so fast that it cracked in half and over my back and stomach.
Oh,
it just like slapped and whipped me both ways and then cut me over here too. And then so I have like just little scarring like right on this arm because it was where they initially hit me. But the girl I had a crush on cleaned off my blood.
Oh,
and
shit.
We went on a date afterwards.
Ooh,
so I guess it was worth it.
Did you guys watch any Last Man Standing?
Hell yeah.
3 episodes.
That's awesome.
That's really disappointing to hear though from all you guys, because we were explicitly told to not do that at home and all you guys did that.
We didn't follow Johnny's word.
Johnny is
warning.
Did you not respect him enough?
That was a good Johnny warning. That sounded exactly like him.
The stunts in this film.
Nope.
I'm not going to ruin it by doing more of it.
It turns into Jared.
I remember specifically liking Men in Black 2 because of the fact Knoxville was in it.
Yeah.
What about The Ringer?
And even though people, like, when I go back and look up reviews at the time, also a good movie.
Yeah,
when I go up and look reviews, like, at the time, they're like, he was one of the worst parts in it.
Mm.
And I'm like, no, that's why I watched it. I loved him in it.
Like when Daniel Tosh was in The Love Guru.
Yeah.
Like in a cowboy hat. Yeah.
Not exactly as the cowboy.
Like two
same
line.
Caliber.
Man, well, it has been a delightful, delightful afternoon having you sweet, succulent boys on our podcast. Thank you so much for coming
on. We have pizza on the way.
Yeah, we got pizza on the way, too. Have a little pizza party. Where can
Seriously.
People find you guys?
Guess one full silence. So I was like, all right. It's Eddie Burback. That's Eddie with a Y is my YouTube channel. And then the Gus and Eddie podcast. That's my name everywhere on social media.
Hell yeah, dude. And I'm Gus Johnson. That's G-U-S Johnson. I do comedy sketches on YouTube, and you can find me with the Gus and Eddie podcast. Look at that.
Yeah, go check them out. All the links will be in the description. Go follow these boys. Subscribe to their podcast, because I've been seeing a lot of people saying, like, what are more podcasts in this style to listen to? Go check theirs out. It's fucking fantastic.
Thank you so much, boys.
Just don't abandon us for them, please.
No.
Coexist. You guys have a better podcast anyways.
I disagree.
You guys have cameras with yours.
That didn't help. Sometimes the batteries die and we've been there.
Like, and be like, oh, we've been talking for the last 10 minutes and the camera's been off.
Yeah,
exactly.
Anyway, guys, seriously, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having us, boys.
You guys want to do one big like group kiss?
Yep. Yeah.
All right, 3, 2, 1.